Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Thea. Thank you, Hien. Thank you, Church. Thank you, Phyllis. Wow. What a day the Lord has made. So I'm just going to read from Luke chapter 2 and verses 8, starting verse 8 to 20. So if you have your Bibles, please stand with me. Much of this has been read in parts of some of it in our service, so thank you so much. Luke 2, 8 to 20. I've got a slightly different version here, New King James, so it might not be the same as your NIV, if you have NIV. So let me read. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord stood around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in a swaddling cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards man." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. Amazing, amazing story, amazing passage. Yes, it's this time of the year we celebrate the birth of Jesus. 12 years ago, when my son Joshua was born, this excitement came, the preparation and all these things. Well, somebody said that if you speak to your child while it's in the mother's tummy, when they're born, they probably hear your voice. So I thought, I'm going to test this out at the hospital. When Joshua was born, Sister Rona was there, and Joshua came out crying a lot. So I went close to Rona and I said to Joshua, "Josh, don't worry, Daddy's here." And then you know what? Things just calmed down. And I said, "Wow, that's amazing." Well, here we are. A little over 2,000 years ago, the Bible records the greatest birth that ever took place in the history of mankind, or humanity, shall I say. This birth continues to affect society and generations of generations from past, present, and future. Our focus of meditation this morning is, as mentioned, the joy of the Lord's coming. This is what I want to look at this morning, the joy of the Lord's coming. The coming of the Lord does not suggest that God just turned up at the time, but it's far from it. God is always present. But in scripture, we find that there are significant places, people, location that God turns up. Example, Christmas. Or, for example, Moses in the burning bush, or at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. So at some significant places in history, biblical history, God turns up and it's marked and recorded. So when I say the coming of the Lord, please do not think that God was never there before and it just appeared for the first time. That's not what I'm saying. So I want to look at this in three ways. So I want to look at my stuff by saying, he has come, the Messiah has come, the Savior has come, the prophesied Messiah has come. That's number one. Number two, he continues to come to us today, now at this time. And thirdly, he will come again, the parousia, the future. So this is where I'm kind of going. So hopefully we will capture some of the things along the way as we go. Ian, you'll have to keep track on my time. So if I'm going a little bit over time, just give me a signal. He has come. He has come. The announcement of the birth of Jesus was good news for the Jewish people. The Jewish people, as we know, they were under Roman occupation. Why? Because it gives them some form of comfort to see that the covenant made with Abraham come to pass. And it sets the stage for Israel's political, religious identity in the ancient Near East. Matthew brings us straight back into history and actually confirms this blessing, this promise, this covenant with Abraham. So Matthew chapter 1, the genealogy, look at all of that. Generations after generations, and it traces right back to Abraham, the promise of inheritance. And through your descendants, the nations of the earth will be blessed. So we get to see that from Genesis 1:1-3, starts off with the Abram's calling. And then in it, it talks about the inheritance and the blessing and the blessing of the land, inheritance, descendants, the name, and so forth. Then in Genesis 22:18, it talks about through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, and repeated again in 26:4. So I tend to think that somehow we all know that Christmas happened because of Genesis 3:15. What is Genesis 3:15? It's basically the fall. Adam and Eve sin. And Brother Paul has been kindly taking us through this in the weekly devotions, and thank you, Paul, so much for that. It gives us a background to this. So we can see the coming of Jesus at the time is crucial. Crucial for us, but I think it's crucial for the Jewish community in itself. So the nation of Israel was birthed and founded through this covenant that God made with Abraham. Remember, Abraham, through Abraham's children, Abraham's 12 boys, the nation of Israel was founded. And right throughout the journey, we are all aware of that. But the nation of Israel was supposed to be a covenanted people, a people of promise, a people that God was going to use them in the ancient and near East, and as well as to the rest of the world. But as we know, Israel was not always faithful to his covenant promises. Now, one thing I noticed, I don't know if you read, but it dawned on me this week as I was reading, because Matthew seems to point out about Jesus' ministry to the Jewish first. So I picked this up in Matthew 2:6, which is basically says, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. And for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then in 15:24, it says, I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Now that's a bit of a conflict and contradiction there. And I know Paul, who's quite familiar with this background, will help us. But it comes to me that when Jesus came, we all know now that His coming was for the whole world. But back then, Israel was still very central to this history about God's covenant. And Israel plays a very vital role in the salvation of the world, because it was through Abram's blessings, through Abram's descendants, that the nations of the earth will be blessed. Of course, Jesus was that blessing, but Jesus was focusing on the Israel itself. And then through Israel, through the 12 disciples and through the rest of the believers there, they then went out. So Jesus came and did the big stuff, the dying and setting us free. So that was something that kind of dawned on me. And as I was reading this, it was viewed that Jesus first had a ministry to the Jews, then the Jews to the world. He called himself a good shepherd. The way the covenant promise of blessing of all nations was going to work was through Jesus serving the Jews first, and then through the apostles, they then would take it to all the nations. So Matthew's statement about a shepherd ruler confirms the covenant blessing of Genesis 12. I hope that's okay with you. Where is Israel in all of this? Israel's unfaithfulness over the centuries has caused their relationship with God to be deteriorating. As a result, they faced judgment and exile, suffered hard labor in Egypt, and the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms. And after they had entered the promised land, and so was the Assyrian invasion and the Babylonian invasion, and followed by other Persian empires, and presently now under the Roman rule. Yet in the midst of all these challenges, God always will save a remnant. A remnant that will go forward. And there was always, through the voices of the prophets, that in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trial, there was this message of hope. Hope from the prophets to remind them that God has not finished with them yet. So Israel as a nation for a long time struggled to find their identity, the unique identity, and for the people God had planned them to be. So the hope in the birth of the Messiah was that he will lead Israel to victory against the allies. But it did not work in the military term that they had expected, but through servant humility. After 33 years of Jesus' life, there were hundreds of followers, true followers, and 12 specifically trained disciples, apostles, to be a blessing to the world around us. Acts 1:8 and the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. So today I read that there are about 2.2 billion Christians in the world. Wow, 2.2 billion Christians in the world. That's amazing. Yes, the blessing of Abram is touching the world far and wide. I don't know the world's population. I think, I'm just rough guess here, 6, 7, 8 billion, but 2.2 are Christians. That's from the statistics I found about the Atlas website. So the term Christmas or Mass on Christ's Day is truly a celebration, a time of joy. It's more than a holiday, but it is a holy day that marks the day God sends himself. God comes to his own world. God takes on human form, the flesh, and he became like one of us. Wow. And if there is anything to be joyful about for Israel, bouncing off from all kinds of people, well, here is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Here is God himself coming to dwell with them. What more can they need? What more can they need? It was a true presence. Well, I must not forget, I must not move on to remember what happened here. Mary, in this story, we realize that she was truly joyful. She was joyful. The angel told her about things. She did not believe in the first place. But as she understood more and more, and as she became aware, wow, amazing. She see turn into joy and celebration. The song, the Mary song, it's interesting. She started off that she cannot praise God in her own strength. She could only do that in God's strength. And then in towards the end, she talks about remembering the blessing of Abram. So in some way, this blessing of Abram, that Israel was going to be a blessing to the nations, was engraved into the boys and the girls and into the whole life of the Jewish family. She even mentioned that in a singing and dancing and celebration. Quickly, moving on to the next one. What does that mean for us? If that was meant for the Jewish people, you know, how is Christ coming means for us today, now in the 21st century, today, here in Rye Lane, here in Peckham? God continues to come to us. Today, Jesus continues to come to us as the Savior of the world, amongst other titles. Matthew 1:21 says that she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And in John 10, Jesus identifies himself as the good shepherd, contrasting the bad ones. A true character of a true shepherd, he dies for his sheep. And Jesus was true to his word. He died for the people. And that's why in verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that us will have life. Have life. You know, it's one thing to be saved from our sins, but it's quite another to know that God has given us life, new life, a brand new life. It can only come through Jesus. Every day the Lord comes to us. You know, like in the case of the shepherds or Anna the prophetess, or you know, all these people that are mentioned in the scripture where Mary came and visited. This year has been very tough for many of us. You know, life has not been easy. The coronavirus, and I've got one or two stories about myself going through the situations. It's not been easy. It's not very, very tough. And how do we express joy in a situation like this? How do you express joy? And this is where I want to share a little testimony. I want to share a little testimony here. You know, my brothers and sisters, this joy, Felix has pointed out this morning, this joy is not a wishful feeling that comes and goes. This joy, it comes from deep, deep, deep within. It's placed there. God placed it there. It's always there. It does not change. Our circumstances change and our situations change. But that joy, that love, that peace is always there. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We know that. You know, one day I woke up in the morning and I was having a really bad night. And a friend texts me and says, good morning, Patrick. And I said to myself, good morning. You know, if you have been in my side of the world, I never had a good night. And I wasn't looking forward to any good morning either. But then as I was sitting there and thinking about my own words, you know, this dawned on me that my joy must not come because of how I feel and what I hear, what goes around me. Because that joy is always there. It's not something that I feel is placed there. It's by the Spirit. If we look at Mary, Mary was beginning to express this joy. Not because, you know, all the news, whatever the angel told her in the first place, she didn't believe it. She questioned the angel. But then she came to realize that the Spirit of God came upon her. And through that Spirit, that joy, that understanding came. So, joy, how do we express joy? Brothers and sisters, that joy is there. Like Phyllis said, there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness comes and goes. When a mood swings, happiness swings back and forth. But joy is consistent. Joy is present all the time. What we need to do is we need to tap into it. We cannot recreate it because it's something, it's a fruit of the Spirit. We've got to accept it. Anyway, I must move on. So he has come. He continues to come today, whatever your situation is, whatever situation my situation is. God is here. God is present. That's why, you know, we read many scriptures and we talk about even Matthew 1:23, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they are to call him Emmanuel. What does that mean? God is with us. You know, brothers and sisters, we have to believe the fact that God is with us. He is with us. Our joy comes because God is the one who is the source of it. If we try to go and find joy, we will never find it. Yes, we can find some fake ones, which will only last for a time. And then we are back to square one again. But that joy becomes an indwelling joy that's always there. It's always there. We need to tap into it. Praise God. Praise God. Please allow me move to the last bit here. He will come again. My brothers and sisters, he's coming. He has come, but he is coming again. He is coming again. He is coming again. You know, this world is not our world. This world is temporary. This world is only for now. One day, you and I will be in the presence of God, our Creator. The Old Testament people look to the New Testament as a parousia, the coming of the Messiah. Well, that Messiah has come. My understanding is that some of our brothers from Israel are still waiting for that Messiah. But my understanding is that he has come. And the next time he comes, that's it. Life is over. Praise be to God. Israel has learned themselves a very big lesson. You know, we are God's covenant people. God has individually selected each one of us, fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, families. And we are now, if you know something, Paul might correct me on this one, but I'll tell you something. We are now becoming the spiritual Israelites. We are the ones who see what God sees. We are God's mouthpiece. We are God's eyes. We are God's ears. We are God's spiritual Israel today. That's us. This is the church who we are. And we have got to function as the church. I mentioned about the coming of Jesus in the future. Heaven is where our citizen is. In this world, we can only live for so much. Yeah, I think my time is moving on. I'm just going to go on to the last bit. I want to talk about heaven and the citizen in heaven. You know, if you want to go to heaven, there are a couple of things you need to do. Firstly, you need to become a Christian first. You need to follow Jesus. Secondly, if the Lord does not come, you'll have to die. You'll have to die first to get there. Death was touched by many. I was hearing, as Sister Gabby's announcements, and few of our brothers and sisters have suffered that, and Paulia himself, and a lot of others of you. That has happened to many of us. And this year, unfortunately, many of our beloved brothers and sisters have gone on. And you know, the sad thing is that some of them have not gone to be with our Creator. They have gone into a Christless eternity. You know, that must pains God's heart and God's desire. I don't know. This thing about death is the fear of it. The fear that death brings, it numbs us up and it enslaves us. One of the things I learned through this coronavirus was that fear numbs people first before the virus does its job. And what fear does is just it deprives you of the joy that you need to have. You know, we talked about this joy. We talk about this peace. We talk about all these fruits of the Spirit. But when we are fearful about what is ahead of us, We tend to doubt ourselves, you know. But please, whatever we do, let's not doubt God, because the moment when we start doubting God, we will lose it. That's why the angel was very specific to Mary and says, Mary, do not fear. He said to the shepherds, do not fear. Because he knew the potential fear has on crippling people's mind. and the way people think. And we can be rejoiced, but we can be awful. And we can turn fear into faith. But in Christ Jesus, we can do that. Yeah, I'm just looking at my time. It's right on 12 o'clock, so I will have to stop here. But thank you, everyone, for listening, and I will stop for now. God bless.